It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Volume. It's Boxing with Chris Mannix presented by FanDuel. Football season is underway. Basketball is right around the corner, and there is no better place to get in on that action than FanDuel. The app is safe, secure, and easy to use. FanDuel always has exclusive offers. When you win, you'll get paid fast. FanDuel has a lot of ways to play, like the spread, money line, over-unders, team totals, player props, and so much more. Jump into the action at any time during the game with live betting. Combine multiple bets from the same game in a same game parlay and try out the same game parlay plus. So use the promo code BOXING and download the FanDuel app today to make every moment more during this football season. And get ready, NBA season is right around the corner.
This is Boxing with Chris Mannix.
Oh, somebody punch him in the face.
Anthony Joshua is a composed and ferocious finisher. Watch this.
Andy Ruiz is the heavyweight champion.
Hosted by SI's Chris Mannix.
That was my moment.
Now with interviews, analysis, and everything going on in the world of boxing.
When you have talent, you are given another chance.
Here's Chris Mannix.
Are you ready?
When are you going to give a real intro, like a professional radio voice intro to your show?
Because those are lame.
No, they're not lame. That's what captures the imagination. Like, hello, welcome to the Chris Mannix podcast. My name is Chris Mannix. You know, do something like
have
that.
Have you ever listened? You do listen to the podcast. Don't even say you don't. You listen every week.
I only listen when I'm on.
Okay, that's weird because you know what's being said. At the very beginning of the podcast, there is animation that plays.
Yeah, but it's not you. I can intro the show for you if you want.
I don't want
you
to
be my guest.
Please don't intro the show for me. Don't intro the show for me.
Senior editor of Sports Illustrated, Chris Mannix, is my guest tonight.
Well, Chris, how are you? Senior writer, but okay. Not editor. Can we talk about your tweets, by the way? You are a rage tweeter. You know that, right? Like, you wake up and, like, you just wake up sometimes and just send out like 20 tweets in a row.
I've never done more than 5 in one day. And I'm like,
they're all back to back to back, though.
Look, man, I'm like Hemingway of Twitter. I write best in the morning.
Can I, for the record, Sergio Mora is here, former junior middleweight champion, DAZN broadcaster. You had a tweet about a week ago, and I flagged this because I wanted to bring this up on the podcast. Somebody asked you, quote, Riz, now, why did you walk away from the Jermaine Taylor fight when Jermaine was undisputed? Your response, I only had one 10-round fight under my belt. I wasn't ready. Bullshit. I call bullshit. Tell the people the real story about why you didn't fight Jermaine Taylor.
Well, it was partly because I only fought one 10-rounder. Mm-hmm. I only have 17 pro fights. And most importantly, we're $150,000 away from $1 million.
That's why.
Lou DiBella. 150, and I would have done it. But
see, that's why. That's the real story. As soon as I read that tweet, I go, bullshit. If they had paid you 200 grand, you would have fought a 15-rounder against it if they asked you for it.
Damn right I would have.
Yeah, you're right. All right, lot to get into this week. We've got some news with Ryan Garcia and Tank Davis. Got a few good fights this weekend. Your good pal,
Jake Paul is back in action as well. But I want to start with boxing being boxing once again. This past week, negotiations for an Errol Spence, Terrence Crawford fight collapsed. Crawford elected to sign a deal with BLK Prime Video, and he is going to fight in December against David Avanesian, a good fighter, but that's certainly a letdown from the Errol Spence fight. There's been, Sergio, a lot of he said, she said here. Bud Crawford has blamed Errol Spence and PBC. Errol Spence has blamed Bud Crawford. You go on social media, everybody seems to think they have the most accurate information. But let's start here. Your reaction to a long-discussed fight falling apart once again.
I told you so. I told you it wasn't going to happen. You were the only optimistic person in boxing that was actually feeling good about that fight being made in late November. I think our last podcast, I told you it is not happening. It's not enough time to promote the shows. It's not to promote the fight.
Well, that had to do with the date, though. That was the date.
It wasn't enough time, and they weren't talking about it. Nobody was talking about it, so there was no way they were going to put a mega fight, the biggest fight in boxing, in that much of a hurry, in that much of a rush. That's how I knew it wasn't going to happen. They needed to the whole promotional machine coming out. They needed all guns blazing and every talk show. It didn't happen for many reasons, and I blame a lot of people, Mannix. I just don't blame Bud and Spence, but you got to blame the managers, and then you got to blame the advisors, and you got to blame the lawyers, and you got to blame the promoters and the networks. It's all one big, I don't know the word for it, but it's all one big mess. You know, whenever you're dealing with so many people, so many contracts, so many loyalties that you have to like cross bridges, it's not going to happen. There's just too many hurdles to jump. And I just felt that that's one of the biggest fights in boxing that's never going to happen when it should.
Well, BLK Prime Video coming out of nowhere was not something anybody anticipated. I had never
heard.
Who
is BLK and what are they?
It is a video on demand service that has dabbled in boxing some and is clearly attempting to get into boxing. So
they're like Triller.
I guess that's a decent comparison for the moment. They signed Terrence Crawford to a one fight deal. Reportedly, they signed Adrian Broner to a three fight deal. We'll see what happens with that. I have been told there is some real money behind it, some hedge fund money, some investment bank money, something along those lines. And look, if you're Crawford and you really can get eight figures to fight David Avanesian, and the negotiations between yourself and Errol Spence and Al Haymon weren't going the way you wanted to, I kind of understand it. I mean, David Avanesian's a good fighter, but he is going to be lunch meat against Errol Spence. He is going to go out there and try to brawl, and Errol Spence is going to put him down. This is going to end badly for David Avanesian. So if you're Errol Spence and you really can get $10 million plus to fight him, I understand it. My problem with all this is that I think this was the final nail in the coffin for Spence versus Crawford. It sure sounds like Errol Spence, who has spent like a decade or more fighting at 147 pounds, who was in the Olympics at 150 plus pounds, is done with welterweight. He wants to move up. There aren't great fights available to him if Crawford isn't. He's not going to fight Stanionis. Like, I don't see that happening. He clearly doesn't want to fight Keith Thurman. And like the mandatories out there, Boots Ennis, Virgil Ortiz, potentially, he's not going to fight either one of them. So it sounds like the next step for Errol Spence is going to be moving up. And you know this, Sergio. If he moves up, he ain't coming back down. So the chances of us getting a welterweight unification fight between Spence and Crawford, one that would truly crown the best fighter in that division, they may have vanished completely after all this.
We're not in the 1980s no more. We're not dealing with the Fabulous Four. We're not dealing with the best fighting the best. It's nowadays, it's the best chasing the best paydays. And it's unfortunate because the fans, you know, they've been supporting boxing so long. And when it comes to the right time, that opportune time where everything's perfect, these guys are undefeated, they're at their pound for pound best. And if they only can make that fight, it's just... It puts boxing at the number one spotlight of all sports, and it just doesn't happen because there's just too much red wires to cross, too much paperwork, too many promoters and managers, advisors. Like I said, man, it was just too much to do, And when you were so optimistic about it, which is a rarity because you're just curmudgeon.
Well, I just felt like
I was just like, what the hell is wrong with you, Mannix? All of a sudden you're positive?
Well, look, the options for these two guys were limited when I was talking like that. Nobody saw this BLK Prime Video thing coming. Like,
no, I don't even see it coming. It sounds like a boy band. BLK? BLK Promotions.
Prime Video. I think it's sounds more like a, I don't think it's a promotional
sounds
company.
Sounds like a hamburger and Burger King or something.
To speak briefly on BLK Prime Video, what they're doing isn't going to work. Like, they're doing a one-fight deal with Terrence Crawford. They're going to put it on some version of pay-per-view. It's going to do well under 100,000 buys, and there's just no scenario where they can make that money back. The same thing with this Broner deal. Broner hasn't fought in well over a year. He hasn't won a meaningful fight since 2016. His drawing power has largely vanished. I saw a video of him recently announcing the deal. He did not look like he was anywhere close to fighting shape at the moment. So I don't know what their end game is for all this. But if you're Crawford and Spence, that might have done it. Maybe we see them fight at 154 down the line, but I'm not crossing my fingers and counting on it because Crawford is what, in his mid-30s? Spence is approaching his mid-30s. I think we've lost our chance to see that fight forever. And
I hate to say it, but I told you so.
You did. You did tell me so. All right, I want to talk about some news that I reported this week and get your take on it. Ryan Garcia and Tank Davis seem to be right there on the contractual element of a deal for them to fight. They have agreed broadly on the financial terms, which means, I've been told, the guarantees for each fighter and the percentage split for each fighter. They have agreed on the weight, 136 pounds, which is 1 pound above the weight Tank prefers to fight at and 3 or 4 pounds below what Ryan Garcia prefers to fight at. They agreed on the date, which is supposed to be sometime in January, the location, which is supposed to be Las Vegas. They seem to be right there on the financial terms. Where they're not is close to a deal for the broadcast rights. Tank Davis has been aligned with Showtime for his last 11 fights. Ryan Garcia with DAZN. The two sides have spoken, I've been told, but they are not close to a deal on the broadcast rights. So are you equally as pessimistic, Sergio, about the chances we get to see Ryan Garcia, Tank Davis, or do you think there's a pathway for this fight to get done?
There's a pathway. There's a pathway because Ryan Garcia has a big following. The kid, you know, whenever he tweets, millions of people read it. It gets retweeted. He has a following in Instagram and Twitter. You know, Tank's very popular. So whenever these two do decide to talk and try to make a fight, people are listening and people want this fight. It's one of the biggest fights in boxing. And these guys are so young and hungry and they're good at what they do and they knock people out. Not only that, Mannix, but they're with, well, at least Ryan Garcia is, he's with a promoter that wants to make it happen. So when Oscar De La Hoya tweets, the world of boxing listens. So not only does Ryan Garcia want the fight, Oscar De La Hoya wants the fight. It's Mayweather Promotions and Mayweather and Leonard Ellerbe and Tank. They're the ones that are silent about it. Ryan Garcia keeps goading them on like, come on, kid, let's do it, let's do it. And it's a bad look for Tank. But I think it's going to be, you can't keep just you know, staying silent about it. Tank tweets and deletes. He's kind of like me, you know, whenever Ryan Garcia says anything. But you could tell Tank wants it. You could tell Tank wants to respond to this kid, says, let's get it on. But the powers that be and the people behind him won't let it happen. And those people, whether it's Mayweather Promotions or Network or the lawyers or whatever it is, they can't keep treading lightly. He's a Tank. His name's Tank. You can't tread lightly with a Tank. Let him destroy. Let him do what he does best. And that's fight. And let them, you know, do it at the right time. Don't wait any longer. I mean, this is the time to do it, and hopefully it happens. And I'm optimistic about this one.
I'm glad. I wouldn't say I'm optimistic. I wouldn't say I'm pessimistic. I'm right in the middle right now. I do think that Al Haymon and Mayweather Promotions are operating in good faith trying to make this fight happen. Otherwise, why would they agree to all the financial terms? Like, I think everybody involved wants this fight. What has to budge is Haymon and Mayweather Promotions have to authorize and tell Steven Espinoza that he needs to make a deal with DAZN for this fight. Now, people listening, they know. Sergio and I are part of the DAZN broadcast team. But this is not about that. What this is about is getting a deal done. And it does not get done unless there is a co-promotion
that involves
both networks. DAZN is willing to do a type of deal that we saw with Mayweather and Pacquiao. The type of deal that they were talking about doing with Tyson Fury and Anthony Joshua. DAZN's willing to do that. They're willing to split everything in an equitable way. Right now, my understanding is that these negotiations haven't really gone anywhere because Showtime is telling DAZN that Mayweather Promotions and PBC are saying this fight happens as a Showtime pay-per-view. I'm telling you, it's not going to happen without it being a Showtime pay-per-view. People can say, well, Ryan Garcia doesn't have a contract with DAZN. Well, Tank Davis doesn't have a contract with Showtime. Why can't it be on one network? It doesn't matter. Tank Davis is a Showtime fighter. Ryan Garcia, for the moment, is a DAZN fighter by virtue of his contract with Golden Boy. If this fight could happen on one network, it would have happened already. It needs to, the two sides need to come together and make this deal. And let me tell you something, Sergio. This is not a hard deal to make. Like, you use previous deals as a blueprint. You use Mayweather-Pacquiao, the structure of it, as a blueprint. You use Fury Wilder as a blueprint. ESPN and Fox, rivals in the sports game. They got together, they made a deal, and we saw two great fights, including the last one, which is one of the best heavyweight fights I've seen in a very long time. Certainly the best fight I've seen in person. You can do this. It's about greed. It's about ego. If this fight gets blocked, it's going to be at the network level. And I'm just going to say this. I think it will be blocked because of Mayweather Promotions and Al Haymon. I think they will be the ones that stop this fight from happening because I think DAZN wants to do a deal. I quite frankly think if push comes to shove, Showtime would do a deal because Showtime has nothing else for Tank Davis. Does anybody really want to see Tank versus Isak Cruz 2? Because that's where we're trending towards if this fight doesn't get made. So I think there needs to be kind of a loosening of the reins, get the ego out of the situation, make a co-promotional deal, and then make a fight that is one of, if not the most marketable fight you can make in all of boxing today.
The ego, you said it. I think, the people that are involved have big egos. And, you know, fighters, of course, we have big egos because that's what it takes to get in the ring. But the people in the suits, what are their egos about? They don't want to work with other people across the street because what? It's childish. It's immature. It's not good business. They could say that they don't have the following or the audience or they don't have the subscriptions. DAZN doesn't. But what have they done? Like you said, what has Showtime done? What HBO's out of business, or else I would have brought them up. What have they done? What are the numbers they're pulling? What stars are they making? Tank right now is a bona fide star, but he's not selling over 500,000 pay-per-views.
Nobody is at this point.
No, but that's my point exactly.
I'll say this about Showtime has done a really good job at building Tank into the pay-per-view star.
A damn good job.
And
but he's not in over 400,000 pay-per-view.
Probably nobody ever will be again. If the pay-per-view numbers for Wilder versus
Ryan
Lennox
Garcia
right,
will be.
We'll see. We'll see. I mean, look, those days may be gone forever. We don't know if the million plus pay-per-view buys. My point in all this is that Showtime has spent a lot of time and a lot of money investing and building Gervonta Davis. DAZN has spent a lot of time and a lot of money investing and building Ryan Garcia. Neither network should be excluded. And they don't have to be because you can make a deal that will make everybody happy.
And here's the difference. Ryan Garcia's promoter, Golden Boy, Oscar De La Hoya, they want that fight to happen. But on the other side of the fence, Mayweather, they don't say anything. So they're actually to blame a little bit here too, because if the fighter and Ryan Garcia, the promoter and Oscar De La Hoya, if they're the ones talking, they're willing to make a deal. They're willing to talk over the contracts and the deal and everything, and they're just staying quiet about it, well, they're to blame. I mean, I hate to be so blunt about it, but they're the ones not saying anything about it, which means they don't want that fight, and it's upsetting.
I don't need them to say anything. I just need them to make a deal, because if this fight falls through, we're going to see Tank against someone we don't care about, and we're probably going to see Ryan in against someone we don't care about, and that would be catastrophic for boxing in the aftermath of the Errol Spence fight. Let me transition to a favorite topic of yours. Jake Paul is back going for his sixth professional win when he takes on Anderson Silva down in Phoenix. This figures to be a pretty big event. Tickets have moved exceptionally well. Jake has done pretty solid numbers on pay-per-view in his time headlining over at Showtime. Anderson Silva is best known for his MMA exploits. He's one of the greatest mixed martial artists of all time, maybe the greatest mixed martial artist of all time. But he is also a decent boxer. He is 3-1 now.
He's not a decent boxer.
Okay. Okay. Hold on. Hold on. Let me finish what I'm saying. He's 3-1. He has a win over Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. That's a real win. He beat the former middleweight champion legitimately just last year. So here's the question I have for you. If Jake Paul beats Anderson Silva, does he deserve credit for that?
Deserves got nothing to do with it because he's not fighting a boxer in a boxing ring. He's fighting a 47-year-old man, 47 years old, and a guy that's never been in a boxing ring other than with a lazy, irresponsible former champion in Chavez who, you know, he probably wasn't even in shape. He just took that payday. Anderson Silva lost his professional debut because he actually fought a fighter with a 50-50 record. From there, he's fought non-boxers. So you can't say he's a boxer. Jake Paul is...
Okay, but you can't say... Chavez is a boxer. You call him lazy, and that's fine, but he's a real boxer. He is a champion.
Yeah, that's the only thing that brings some kind of credibility. But Chavez is lazy, irresponsible, and he's not reliable. We all know that. Boxing knows that. But yeah, you got to give Anderson Silva credit for beating him. Okay, I'll do that. It'll split decision, but whatever. The other wins, what?
Win's a win. You had split decisions.
I get it, but they were against other fighters. Mannix, you're trying too hard to promote Jake Paul. Jake Paul needs to be fighting a boxer. I don't care if he's an 0-5 boxer, but a boxer, someone that fought five professional boxers and lost. Then I can give him credit. Anderson Silva just fought one professional fighter in Chavez. He got a split decision, and then he got knocked out in his pro debut versus another professional boxer. The other guys were making their professional debuts. They weren't professional boxers. So Jake Paul does not earn my respect here. I give him credit for being a hustler, for being one of these just these guys that can turn lemonade into shit into lemonade. I give him credit for that, man. He gets attention. He gets the eyeballs at the new YouTube, you know, crowd. Hey, all the credit to him. Make your money, son. But whenever you come to boxing and you want to start talking shit, that you want to call out all these big names and you want to do this and you want to take over and you want to start bad-mouthing boxers, that's when we got to just nip it in the bud and be like, dude, shut the fuck up until you fight someone
real.
Well,
I don't think Jake Paul...
Shut the hell up until you fight someone real.
When does he bad-mouth boxers? Like, he bad-mouths boxing in general, and he should, because boxing is in the toilet right now. It doesn't make any good fights. The schedule on most networks is devoid of anything remotely interesting. We're doing a couple of good ones. We're doing on DAZN, you've got Bivol versus Zerto, and then you've got Chocolatito Estrada 3 at the end of the year. But you look at all these schedules, the big fights aren't happening, at least not at the end of 2022.
Okay, Jake Paul's a big fight.
According to the people buying his fights.
People are... It's not boxing fans that are buying this fight. It's YouTube.
Some of them
these
are.
These kids and all this other thing. Let
Who
them
cares?
Buy. And it's not going to be... That pay-per-view, how much is it going to be? Is it going to be
50 bucks? He charges less usually than everybody else.
If it's $50 and he could
Can
sell...
Can I just point this out, Serge? I don't want to get back in this hamster wheel with you again, but... You say Jake Paul's got to fight a real boxer. Well, he tried to fight Tommy Fury twice. Tommy Fury backed out. He tried to fight Haseem Rahman. Haseem lied about the weight he could make, and then he had to cancel that fight. So you can't say he's not trying. He has real boxers backing away from him.
The second he calls me,
all right, this I'm is running what we towards always come it. Back to. I just like, by the way, I have a story up on SI.com right now about Jake Paul. I would spend some time in Puerto Rico with him.
Yeah, I read the story.
No, you, as we record this, no, you haven't. But I just like to point out, and you hate when I do this, but I'm going to do it anyway. Some of the Jake Paul critics, including yourself, don't look at the receipts. Your fifth fight, George Marino, who had just as many wins as Tyron Woodley, zero wins on his resume. Gervonta Davis, who has insulted Jake Paul. In his sixth pro fight, he fought a guy named James Franks, who was 2-8-1. Canelo Alvarez didn't face a guy with a winning record till his 13th professional fight. Why is just because they don gloves and like act like a real boxer, that makes them real boxers?
Every champion in the history of boxing, if you look down into their first five fights, they've fought fighters like that.
10, 15, 20 sometimes.
They fought fighters like that.
Okay, was Tyron Woodley better than George Moreno?
No.
You don't think so?
Not in boxing,
I've never actually seen George Moreno.
No. So I don't know what he did. I don't even know who he was, but he's forgettable. But I bet you he probably would have went the distance with Tyron Woodley.
So didn't Jake Paul. Then he knocked him out.
These guys can't fight, Mannix. They can't box. They can fight. They're strong, but they can't box. They have no footwork. They look ridiculous. Once they start getting into the later rounds, a fifth, the sixth round, once they start getting hit, once they start getting clipped to the body by a real professional boxer, they won't go the distance. They'll turn their back and they're cowered out. That's how these guys that aren't familiar with being a professional fighter, that's how they react.
You know why I give Jake Paul, you think I give him too much credit and I promote him, but I also talk to people that shared the ring with him, like Steve Cunningham, two-time cruiserweight champion. He went down and sparred with him last year. He said Jake Paul's legit, said he has real power, he works hard, and he's trying to become a better fighter. In this last camp, Chad Dawson was there, former 175-pound champion.
I
talked
it.
To Chad Dawson. Chad I said, look, he's got some skill. He's got some
I
real
believe
skill.
It. I believe it, man. I mean, look, I respect Steve Cunningham. I respect Chad Dawson. Two champions, they're not going to bullshit. He's trying. I get it. He's trying. He looks the part. He could throw a 1-2-3. He can run. He can jog. He can have a camp. He can bring in a professional sparring partners. But once he gets down to the real nitty-gritty in front of a boxer with 8 or 10-ounce gloves under those lights and he gets hit on the chin, he's not going to respond like a fighter. He can act like he's a fighter, but he's not one because he does not know how to react when the going gets tough. That's the difference. That's what separates the men from the Jake Pauls.
You know why I like Jake Paul too, though, is...
because he sponsors your show, probably.
He does not, but... he's trying to make these fights. Like Haseem Rahman Jr., nobody's ever heard of him, right? Jake is trying to make these fights when the reality is he would make so much more money if he just fought these influencers. Jake Paul against Nate Diaz is huge. Jake Paul against KSI is huge. Jake's going to make some of those fights, but he's also looking at Tommy Fury, who's 8-0 as a professional boxer. He's looking at other guys
Nate Diaz,
pro boxers.
Nate Diaz is the only one I'll be interested in. The other ones I can
Jake
care
would,
less
Jake
about.
Would, I'm sorry, I like Nate Diaz, but Jake would beat him senseless. Jake's too
big
my God. And too strong.
That's where we disagree.
Nate's not a boxer. Nate's not a boxer.
But Nate has hands. Nate has hands. So does...
With 10-ounce gloves on?
No, look. I can pretty much guarantee you Nate Diaz wipes the floor with Jake Paul.
Are you going to guarantee me that? I'll take every nickel in your pocket if you think that's the case.
Man, he does not beat a Nate Diaz. I'll be interested in that one.
All right.
I like
big,
Nate.
Big fight in New York this weekend. Vasily Lomachenko is back, the former 126, 130, and 135-pound champion. He's been off for more than a year now dealing with the struggle in the Ukraine. He was supposed to fight George Gambosa, had to back out of that because of the war in Ukraine. He is fighting Jermaine Ortiz, who made his bones just a few months ago when he beat Jamel Herring, the now retired former 130-pound champion. Look, Lomachenko's a big favorite in this fight, and he should be. What are you expecting? What do you want to see out of Lomachenko in his first fight back?
I don't expect him to be Nomachenko and come back and wipe the floor with a young, hungry, undefeated, strong fighter. Strong fighter Ortiz. I was watching video on him. I watched his fight with Herring. He's impressive. And, you know, fighters like that, they wait for a moment like this, you know, to take down a legend pretty much. Loma is what, a 3-division world champion, a gold medalist. He's going to go in the Hall of Fame. Ortiz is going to be salivating to beat a fighter like this coming off a 1-year layoff. Ortiz has been active. This is his third fight in 2022. So I wouldn't go as far as say he's a live dog as far as skill wise. But attrition and youth and hunger and in the later part of the fight, I give him a chance to start touching up Loma, make him uncomfortable. So what do I expect out of Loma? To get out of this fight with a victory, with no injuries, no cuts, and no bad performances like a knockdown or where you looked old. Just get out of this one, go to the next one. That's all I want out of him.
Yeah, I think there's going to be some ring rust, but if he's anything like the Lomachenko that we're used to. Jermaine Ortiz is a good fighter. He looked really sharp against Jamel Herring, but Jamel Herring didn't have anywhere near the offense that Lomachenko does. Lomachenko's going to throw punches in bunches. So I want to see him dominate this fight in the later rounds and get the stoppage because that will give him some of his momentum back. Now, Sergio, we've talked a lot, whether it's on jabs over on DAZN or in previous podcasts, about Devin Haney against Lomachenko. I was talking last week to Jamel Herring about this, and the Devin Haney that I saw at the weigh-in for the Kambosos fight, that wasn't a lightweight. That was a guy who drained himself to get back down to 135 pounds. So, like, we've spent some time talking about should Devin Haney take the Lomachenko fight. But I'll tell you this. If Devin Haney can get down to 135 in a safe way, I don't know if Lomachenko would definitely take the fight, but I'd probably favor Devin Haney. Is that crazy to think that Devin Haney would be a favorite against Lomachenko?
No. No, it's not, because that's the right style matchup. He's going to have the size, the youth, the length, the jab, and Lomachenko.
Jab will be key in a fight.
And Lomachenko, what makes him great.
Teofimo used that jab a lot in that his fight.
What makes Lomachenko great is his footwork. Mm-hmm. It's the angles. And the older you get, of course, the legs are the first thing to go, and they can go overnight. So Haney, you know, he's a master at distance. He, you know, it's hard for fighters to break that distance. Kambosos couldn't do it in 24 rounds. A lot of fighters can't do it in 24 in 12 rounds. So Lomachenko is going to have to break that distance with footwork. He'll be able to have success in the first half of the fight, but in the second half of the fight, when things slow down, you can bet Haney's youth, his vigor, and that jab and that confidence, the fact that he has all the belts, he has so much to prove, the fact that he wanted this fight for a long time, that's when it starts taking over.
He already has won this fight for a long time. But let me ask you this. You saw Devin Haney at that weigh. You saw what he looked like. Should he take this fight, or should he go up to 140 right now?
No, take the fight. I think
you
he
said
still,
should or should.
Yeah, you know, he should, because he's still young enough to where that weight doesn't affect him. He can still, you know, even though he did look very dehydrated and drained, you know, he has youth on his side. He can bounce back really fast. You know, drying yourself up like that, it only affects the older you are. So when you're 23, 24 years old, you're still able to do that, even at 25 years old, you know. But once you get into your late 20s, now, man, that's very dangerous.
Yeah, I think that fight is going to happen. Devin Haney wants it. Lomachenko wants the opportunity to win all four belts. It is a legit pay-per-view in Las Vegas or Los Angeles, wherever they choose to ultimately put it. It's a great fight. It's what Devin Haney's always wanted. So I do think he sucks back down to 135 one more time. I just hope after it's over, he doesn't regret it.
Hey, but let's not give Haney is a very responsible fighter that's always on weight. He's never.
He is,
been,
I'm not saying he's irresponsible. He's growing out.
No,
a
no.
Bit of that
maybe he's growing out of it, or maybe it's the fact that he had to fly 15 hours.
Well, he was there for several weeks beforehand. So
it doesn't matter, man. I mean, you have to acclimate to the climate you're in and the places you are. The water, the food's different. I know it sounds like excuses, but when anyone in boxing can tell you, making weight, it's a science, you know. It's not only working out in the gym. It's every little thing. Not only where you are, but what you're drinking, what you're eating, and at what times. And you know, when there's time differences, it makes a big difference.
Is that what killed you in the Forrest rematch? Flying
no,
from Vegas to
no,
Los Angeles.
My debauchery took a hold of there, but
I gotta love it. Last thing for you, we are going to be in San Diego this weekend for what I think is a sneaky good fight, 135 pounds. Jojo Diaz, former world champion at 130. William Zepeda, who's become something of a name at 135. They clash at lightweight. I love this fight, Sergio, because it's a true kind of crossroads fight. For Jojo Diaz, he's coming off the loss to Devin Haney last year. He really needs a win. Zepeda, he has been a fast rising star since his win over Hector Tanahara last year, but his last couple of fights have been so-so. His most recent one, a decision win over Rene Alvarado. But one way or the other, this is going to be Rock'em Sock'em Robot for as long as it lasts. Both these guys throw punches and bunches, and both of them have vowed that they are going to stand in the middle of the ring and trade. So who do you like in this fight?
Man, like you said, it's a great fight between two southpaws that are completely different, not in style, but in power. You know, Zepeda has that eraser. He comes forward. He's very aggressive. He's a volume puncher. Jojo Diaz is also aggressive and a volume puncher. Likes to mix it up, but he doesn't have the power. But what Jojo does bring to the table is timing. I mean, and he has a good jab when he uses it. You know, Jojo actually was doing really well with his jab with Haney. You know, I was watching that fight again, and Haney, who has one of the best jabs in boxing, wasn't out jabbing Jojo in that fight. So that's timing. That's what Jojo brings to the table. Body shots. He's an excellent body puncher. He has a championship experience coming into this fight. Zepeda, you know, he's only fought, a secondary champion in Alvarado. So he doesn't have that championship experience that Jojo has.
What did you think of Zepeda's fight against Alvarado?
I thought it was a workmanlike performance. You know, Rene Alvarado is a type of buzzsaw that
tough
takes,
guy. Good
takes
chin.
Takes a big punch, hits hard enough to keep you honest about it, and a lot of experience. He was active, in great shape. You know, him and his brother work together. They're hungry. They love these opportunities to shine. So it's hard to knock dudes out like that. But this is going to be a great example because if JoJo can win this fight, he's back. He's back in the mix in a hot lightweight division. And if Zepeda can knock out a fighter who has never been knocked out, Haney could have knocked him out, and Farmer definitely could have knocked him out. Gary Russell back in the day, you know, he was dominating that fight, but JoJo started too late. Then he started coming on. It's going to be a great look for Zepeda and a new name in the lightweight division.
Yeah, I think the winner of this fight could be positioned for a world title shot pretty quickly because whatever happens in the Haney versus Lomachenko fight, it's more likely than not those belts fragment at some point, especially if Haney wins. He's going to vacate all those belts and move up to 135 pounds. You got Shakur Stevenson, or 140 pounds. You got Shakur Stevenson lurking out there, moving up to 135. Tank Davis is still out there at 135. If you're JoJo or Zepeda, you've got a great opportunity. What I think this fight comes down to, Sergio, is who is throwing the most punches in the championship rounds, because I think both these guys are going to match each other for volume early on, but who has the conditioning over the final three or four rounds of this fight? I think that's the guy that's going to win it. JoJo has had some weight issues in the past, not at 135 necessarily, but he has had some conditioning issues in the past. If both these guys are in great shape, the person in the best shape, I think, is going to have the best chance to win.
I'm going to tell you what it comes down to. Yes, that has something to do with it as well, but any fight that has something to do with the stamina and everything, the jab and the styles, this fight's going to come down if JoJo's face holds up. If those cuts,
that's a good point,
that scar tissue holds up, because if that scar gets open early like it did in Rocky Mountain fight or in other fights, it's going to be a bloody mess, and Zepeda's going to only get stronger and stronger. And even though he's not beating him by a lot, you know, JoJo has balls, man. I mean, he showed against Tevin Farmer that he was able to take that championship from him with the gruesome cut. So he's been able to do it before. He can probably do it again. But at 29 years old, through all that scar tissue, if that opens up early in that fight, Zepeda will find a way to stop him. If he doesn't stop him, the corner will stop it, the referee, the doctor, someone will stop it. They're not going to let JoJo, a veteran who has a lot of miles in his tank, go 12 rounds with all that blood coming out. So if his face holds up, I would slightly favor JoJo Diaz in this fight.
I think it's going to be a great fight. Maybe the best action fight of the weekend. Sergio Mora, are you planning to sign with BLK Prime next? I heard they're going to look for more fighters.
Hey, listen, man. I'm only coming back for one fighter, and you know his name. Yeah. He's the sponsor of your show. He's the sponsor of your show. I know he is.
First of all, there's probably 10 fighters you'd come back for. You'd come back for a paycheck is what you come back for.
I'm coming back for Jake Paul. And if Spider Silva backs out, the snake will come in.
When we come back, my conversation with Katie Taylor.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddy, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rocked the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James! LeBron James!
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
NFL Total Access, the podcast, is getting you ready for the 2024 NFL Draft. I'm your host, Andrew Levy, and I'll be delivering two shows a week to make sure you're caught up on the very latest NFL news, including every free agency move and how it changes the draft needs of your favorite team. Draft experts and talent scouts, mock drafts, and a few shock drafts, too. NFL Total Access, the podcast, is already on the clock on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Katie Taylor is the undisputed 135-pound champion. On Saturday, she'll return to defend her titles when she takes on Karen Carbajal at Wembley Arena in London. That's a fight you can see Saturday worldwide on DAZN, and Katie joins me on the show. Katie, back in the UK, back at Wembley, where your pro career began back in 2016. I'm wondering, what do you remember about your pro debut?
It definitely seems like a very fast 6 years, but I've got obviously great memories from that night. I was coming off a very disappointing year as an amateur, and this is a fresh start for me. And I just remember it just I just walked into the ring as a different fighter, I thought, that night. And just an amazing moment. You only have one debut, and I'm so glad that the debut actually went well in a third round stoppage. And the start of an amazing journey for me in the ring as a pro.
That was your first experience at professional prize fighting. Did you leave that fight thinking, okay, I'm now confident I can do this?
I think even before that, I had ambitions to bring the sport to a new level, the women's side of things. And I was in Eddie Ahern's office a few weeks before that, talking to him about turning pro and my ambitions, my expectations. And here we are a few years later, where we just headlined Madison Square Garden. I don't think in a million years do we think that was going to happen, but it's just been an amazing journey.
If you knew back then in 2016 that your career would go the way it has gone, how would you feel about it?
I would obviously be very, very satisfied, but at the same time, there's still a lot to be done as well, I think. And there's been a few performances that it's very, very rare that you come out of the ring thinking you box brilliantly, for example. There's obviously improvements that have to be made, I think. And I don't think people have seen the best of me yet, and that's a very exciting prospect for me. So I know that there's still a lot to be done, there's still a lot to be shown, and I'm just excited about for what's to come, really.
You're coming off the biggest win of your professional career, and you believe that people have not seen the best of you yet?
I don't think so. I think I was obviously a good performance the last time, but I think that there is more to be shown, and I'm looking forward to actually showcasing that in the fights to come. I feel like I am getting better and better each and every time, and I definitely feel like I haven't shown my full potential yet.
You're back this weekend against Carbajal, undefeated, solid title defense for you, though not the rematch you were looking for with Serrano, not the high profile fight against someone like Chris Cyborg that I know your management team was trying to get you into over the last couple of fights, a couple of months. How are you feeling about this particular fight?
I obviously know this is going to be a tough fight. Like you said, she is a solid opponent. She's an unbeaten opponent, 19-0. I think a tough Argentinian. She has everything to gain and nothing to lose. So these opponents are always very, very dangerous. And any one of my mandatory opponents have always raised their game against me as well. So I'm expecting the best of my opponent on Saturday night. And I'm just excited to jump back in there, really, and to showcase what I can do. And It's been an amazing year so far, but I want to end it on a high note, and I want to end it on a great performance.
I know you've been asked a lot in the last couple of weeks about the Amanda Serrano fight, but I'm wondering, when the fight ended with Serrano and the days after, did you believe an immediate rematch was going to happen?
Yeah, I mean, I thought we were obviously in talks for an immediate rematch, and we were very willing and prepared to jump right into an immediate rematch. We had Crow Park actually seal off for one of the dates. This is a big arena in Ireland, 80,000 people. That would have been a huge event. It's the only thing that would have topped, I think, what happened to Madison Square Garden. But obviously, it didn't happen, and we had to jump back in with my mandatory opponent on Saturday night instead. But we were ready and willing to jump right back in for an immediate rematch.
What's your understanding of why it didn't happen?
I think they just wanted to have another couple of fights, basically, before jumping back into a rematch. So I obviously respect that, but we were ready to jump back in, but it doesn't make any difference to us whether it's the next fight or the fight after. But I think it is, because it's still going to happen next year at some point. I still to this day think it is the biggest fight out there in women's boxing. The first fight was huge, but can you imagine how big the second fight would actually be after the first one was iconic? So I think that's obviously a huge mega fight again.
You won the fight, and you don't often see the person that won the fight showing the most interest in running it back again, but it seems like it is important to you to have a second fight with Amanda Serrano.
I guess I'm just a bit crazy. I always want the big fights and the toughest challenges, and I definitely do believe that it's the biggest fight out there. I want to be involved in these big mega fights, and I think that's what it's fights like that actually secure your legacy as a fighter as well. Just being involved in a huge mega fight after mega fight, and I just want to give the fans what they want, really.
You know, you mentioned your legacy. Your legacy is secure. You are one of the greatest women's boxers of all time, decorated amateur, decorated pro. But you talk a lot, and have just talked a lot, about bigger fights ahead, bigger nights ahead. What do you want out of the rest of your career? What are you looking for over these next couple of years?
Well, one of the things that I would absolutely love is to have a big homecoming fight in Ireland. That's 6 years as a pro, and I still haven't actually fought back home, which is crazy. So I think I'd absolutely love that big homecoming fight. And we're talking about Crow Park, 80,000 people. That would be such a huge event. And that would be a dream for me to actually have a chance to fight there and to give the Irish fans and just the support that they've given me throughout my whole career, both as a professional boxer and an amateur boxer. I think they also deserve a big night like that.
You know the politics of you fighting in Ireland better than anybody. You talk about it now. Are you more confident now that a Croke Park fight can happen next year than you have been in years past?
Yeah, definitely. I think it is definitely going to happen at some stage. Like I said, even for the immediate, we were obviously in talks for an immediate rematch, and we had Crow Park actually sealed off on one of those days in September sometime. So we were definitely ready to jump in and fight and have a big homecoming fight in Crow Park. So it is definitely going to happen at some stage, which is fine thing for me even thinking about it. Having a big fight at home, 80,000 people. This is really the stuff of dreams.
The last thing I want to ask you is, you know, 1.5 million viewers for your fight with Amanda Serrano, 2 million for Clarissa Shields and Savannah Marshall over in the UK. You're back headlining at Wembley Arena to close out the year. Women's boxing is putting up numbers. It's mm-hmm. It's backing up the talk with actual data, the facts that people are watching women's boxing. What do you think of, you know, where women's boxing is right now? How do you feel about it?
It's incredible. We're seeing even Clarissa against Savannah. What an amazing night that was, and what an amazing fight. Both girls show so much heart and grit. The same with Alicia and Michaela, such a great fight. Just great fights. And I think now we're actually seeing the biggest names possibly in boxing could possibly be female fighters. And even this year, the two fights of the year contenders are myself and Savannah, Clarissa Shields and Savannah Marshall. That alone is just amazing, even saying that. So women's boxing is at an all-time high right now. And the thing about it is it's only going to get better and better with some of these young girls coming up. What an exciting time to be involved in women's boxing.
Let me ask you this, not to ask about the best fighters in the world, but who is Katie Taylor's favorite women's fighter to watch?
My team are here laughing at me. I don't know. I'd probably say Clarissa Shields, to be honest. She's obviously brilliant to watch. I also love watching Lucia Riker from back in the 90s. She was an incredible fighter. I love if those women had the opportunity we actually have right now. It's obviously because of those women that we're in the position that we're in today as well.
It's just incredible that, you know, we talked about this last week, that the gap, even though there is a gap between men's boxing and women's boxing popularity, it's closing because women's boxing is giving fans great fights and the fights that they're asking for more often than not. Yeah. And that's just a good sign for the future, because you're right. The depth in women's boxing is growing by the month, it seems like, with women getting into this sport.
Yeah, absolutely. So. And we're seeing the best versus the best all the time in women's boxing in comparison to sometimes to the men's side of things, where we're not actually seeing the best fights happen and people are getting frustrated at times. But from the women's point of view, we're seeing, like I said, the champion versus champion each and every time. And that's the thing that's actually elevating the sport.
Yeah, fans get frustrated. Media get frustrated too, talking about men's fights that never actually happen as well. Katie, good luck on Saturday. Karen Carabajal, your title defense at 135, back on DAZN over in the UK. Always great to catch up, Katie. Yeah. Good luck to you.
Thank you so much, Chris. Talk to you soon.
And when we come back, this week's picks brought to you by FanDuel. The NBA season is underway, and it's the perfect time to download FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Because right now, new customers get a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. Plus, FanDuel is the only sportsbook that's giving all customers 3 months of NBA League Pass when they make a $5 bet. You guys know, listen to this podcast, I love boxing, but the NBA, it's been my number one for a long time, and there are a lot of good teams, a lot of great games that are going to happen in the NBA this season. So you should be betting on them with our friends at FanDuel. FanDuel has all your favorite bets, from the money line to the point spreads to player props. You can even combine your bets for a chance at a bigger payout with a same game parlay. Plus, with live betting, you'll get updated odds on games that have already started. The FanDuel Sportsbook app is safe, secure, and super easy to use. So download FanDuel today and use promo code BOXING to get your no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. Make every moment more this season with FanDuel, the official sportsbook partner of the NBA. And just to give you something else, don't bet on the Lakers this year. It's not a good bet. Time now for this week's picks, brought to you by FanDuel. And I am locked in this week on the pay-per-view in Arizona. Jake Paul against Anderson Silva. The problem child against the spider. The odds for this fight right now are pretty close. Jake Paul is at minus 190 to win. Anderson Silva, a plus 152 underdog. I like Jake Paul. I think Jake, for all his critics, is becoming a pretty good boxer. And even though Anderson Silva has that win over Julio Cesar Chavez Jr., I just don't like a 47-year-old Anderson Silva against a 25-year-old Jake Paul. I just think there's too many physical factors in the column of Jake Paul, and I think he wins this fight. So take Jake Paul to win at minus 190. If you want to get a little bit of money out of this, if you want to up your odds, look at Jake Paul by knockout. Jake Paul has shown some fantastic power throughout his boxing career. He stopped Tyron Woodley with a one-punch knockout in their last fight. Silva, again, has been a durable guy in MMA, but he's 47 years old, and this is an 8-round fight. I don't know if this fight ends with one punch in the way that Jake has stopped Woodley and Ben Askren and Nate Robinson. It could also end with Jake just wearing down an older Silva. But either way, I think this fight ends with a Jake Paul knockout. So take Jake Paul to win at minus 190. Take Jake Paul to win by knockout at plus 260. Make some money. Those are my picks, brought to you by FanDuel. That's it for this week's episode. My thanks to Sergio Mora and Katie Taylor for joining the show. As always, subscribe, rate, review this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you download podcasts. And I'll see you next week.
It's time to take your body care routine to the next level. Introducing Osea's bestseller body care set, the perfect companion for your summer travels. This four-piece kit transforms dry skin to silky, soft, and glowing. It features travel sizes of Osea's best-selling Undaria Algae Body Oil and Body Butter, clinically proven to improve skin elasticity, along with their anti-aging body balm and Salts of the Earth body scrub. And to top it off, it's packed in a vegan leather bag, making it a must-have for all your summer adventures. Everything Osea makes is clean, vegan, cruelty-free, and climate-neutral, so you never have to choose between your values and your best skin. Treat yourself to glowing, healthy skin this summer with clean, vegan skincare and body care from Osea. Right now, you can get the bestsellers body care set valued at $78 for 33% off. Use code SUMMER to save an additional 10%. That's an additional 10% off at oceamalibu.com, code SUMMER.
It's Freddie Prinz Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.